The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Hey, we are back. Appreciate all of you being here. The top story of the afternoon just happened. Alan Green is gone as the Auburn Athletic Director. You heard the school has made that official. He has issued a statement. Many have excoriated the school, expected. Nevertheless, it is, before the season has even begun, created a firestorm over the future of Brian Harsin. Let's continue. Rick is up next. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
We are doing great. Thank you.
This is your I-95, buddy.
Well, great. Good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. I just want you to know that it has already been I can confirm that Harsin will be out before the season's over.
Okay, let me make sure I understand that correctly. You're reporting this as fact, that you know that Harsin will be out?
I have a source. And real high up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say it's over 50% chance that he'll be out during this season, and he will be replaced next year.
Okay. This always used to happen with me when you remember I was in the newspaper business, of course, Rick. I would go in to see my editor when I had a big story. And I once came in and told him, he said, "So you got a source?" I said, "Yeah, I have a usually reliable source." He said, "Usually? What is he not always reliable?" Which brings me to your question. Can you tell me a little bit more about your source? How credible is he?
Well, he works in the administration.
Okay, and can you tell me more about that?
Well, he's the one that told me today. And he said that before it was announced, Green was gone.
Yeah, well, that was not a the story was out about 2 hours before we heard the same thing. But because this guy heard that today, which you think he knows what he's talking about?
Absolutely. This reminds me a lot about Bill Curry.
Yeah.
Bill Curry.
Well, hold on a second, Rick. I'm trying to get to the bottom. I'm trying to – this is what we call an investigation of your source, since you're not obviously going to tell me who he is, are you?
I can't do that.
So no, you have to protect your source.
Yes.
But your source your source works in the athletic department at Auburn, correct?
In the administration.
Oh, so he's in the administration. And
yeah.
when you say the administration, does that mean he could be director of health and well-being, human resources, industrial environment? What's that?
No, a lot higher than that, sir.
Okay, like the president's office?
Well, lower than that, but in between that.
More than the president? Is there someone other than the president at Auburn that matters?
No. No, right under the president.
Right under the president. So your source is the assistant to the president.
Well, I don't want to even say that, sir. I'm just telling you what I have been told.
Well, you got to tell me more before I can run this story on the air. I mean, this is a national show.
I know it, but I just wanted you to know for what I have been told.
Okay, so let's say this guy has a big job at Auburn, and he has told you what exactly?
He has told me that Harsin.
Hold on, Rick, are you still there?
What happened? I heard it.
Rick, are you still there?
I am, yes, sir. I'm here.
One more time, since we got some interference there.
Yes.
Your source, who is high up in the Auburn Athletic, high up in the administration, told you exactly what? I need to hear this. Is somebody like jamming this conversation? Did you hear that?
It's something about alien autopsy.
His source told him that Hugh Freeze has already been hired. Is that what he said? Maybe I heard that wrong.
Let's go to the transcript.
I have no idea. I really don't know. Let's talk to Bill in Atlanta. Hello, Bill.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you very much. It's great to hear from you.
I just wanted to ask, I'm an Auburn alum, you know, what do you think it would take for us to get the feds to check in on the booster club there at Auburn?
Well, first of all, you need probable cause. You need to know that a crime is in the
How
works.
How about firing five coaches in the last 25 years for no damn reason?
That's a good point. You know, I would disagree with that. I'm trying to think of all the coaches who have been fired at Auburn, and I can only think of one who shouldn't have been fired.
Which one would that be?
Pat Dye.
Absolutely.
And Pat Dye told me once, he said, I was fired not because of the scandal, because I lost to Georgia and Alabama my last year. There was never a doubt that
I was at the Georgia game when they tanned out the whatever his name was, Ramsey.
Yeah. It's funny, I was talking to Randy Campbell the other night, who was, I think he told me he was an assistant that year. he said Dye started beating on his headset or something toward the end of the game. It was crazy, but let's continue with more phone calls. And
Paul
is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Paul.
Yes, sir. Paul, you get the crystal ball out and Alabama's going to lose one game. Who's it going to be to?
That's tough. Let's see. If Alabama lost a game this year, who would it be? I'm going to go through the schedule and give you the most likely losses. It's not the one.
Here we go.
I would say either at Arkansas, at Tennessee. Those are the two, or Ole Miss. I think those are the three most dangerous games.
Well, we want to see in Fayetteville, Paul. We want to see the hog hat on your head.
Well, I'm going to be there a week from today, so you probably will. I would say I think Tennessee might be the most dangerous game.
Well, in that weekend that Arkansas plays Alabama, I was just looking at the schedule. I bought tickets for it, and it's showing that the SEC Network is going to be WEU against Florida that instead of the Arkansas-Alabama game. How's that?
Well, I'm not sure what's going on that way. You know, the Arkansas-Alabama game, first of all, I don't think they picked all those games yet. That's a likely CBS game or ESPN game.
Okay, it's just showing on the ESPN website.
Yeah, I don't think those games have been chosen yet. Okay, I think we have Rick. Rick, are you back?
I'm back. I got cut off, sir.
Well, good. So you were telling me what your source told you when we got cut off. So tell me again.
That Harsin is a good chance that he won't survive the season, but he's definitely out after the season.
Okay, I need to go back over what you just said. You just said your source told you there's a good chance he won't survive the season, but he's out at the end of the year.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Okay. And your source is basing that on what?
That is something that he has been told that inside the administration.
So they, in other words, they have already determined that Harsin will be gone.
Yes, sir. He would have been gone last year if it wasn't $18 billion.
Okay. It's still pretty expensive, though, this year.
Yeah, but it's not $18 million. I think it's around 10.
You're asking me? I thought you had all the news.
Well, no, I don't have that news. I don't know what his contract is, but that's what I've been told.
Okay, and you feel comfortable that I can go with this story on the air, right?
Well, you've already got it. I wouldn't have called you if I wasn't comfortable about it.
Oh, so okay, one last thing. Can we quote your name, your whole name on this?
I would rather not, but I've called before.
Hold on a second now. You just called.
Well, you've met me before.
Well, it doesn't matter.
You've met me before.
I know your name.
Yeah.
You called a radio show that's also shown on television, and gave us a scoop, yeah. And now you're not willing to put your name by it?
Well, I don't like controversy, but I do like telling facts.
Okay. Man. And your history in the media was what? You did what at I-95?
Oh, I'm the one that brought you that tape that you did with Mark and Brian.
No, I know that, but what did you do when you worked at the radio station?
Oh, I didn't work at the radio station. I taped it for you because I was in high school.
Oh, okay. So you've never worked in the media, right?
No, that's right. Never have.
Okay. So you have no media experience, no journalistic experience, right?
I took a journalism class in college. That's
okay,
about
well,
that, it.
Well, that's all we needed to know. Let's go with the story. I mean, run it.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And welcome back. Great to have you with us. Billy Lucci joining us now from College Station, where the Texags main man is joining us. Billy, good to see you. And Jimbo Fisher, it seemed to me like he was toying with one of your compatriots the other day when he asked him about who was starting at quarterback. I know he doesn't toy with you. He asks you for advice on everything. So, should he ask you, what would you tell him?
Well, first off, I did not pick the fabric for this. This is just off the rack here. Roman, man, he does it right. No, if he asked me for my advice on the starting quarterback, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Or the timing of it. Oh, man, that's a great question, Paul. I don't envy the position Jimbo's in. I think ultimately Jimbo's going to lean towards the most consistent performer through camp. And my feeling is that that's going to end up being, when it's all said and done, I think you're going to hear the name Haynes King come out. What's going to be more fascinating to me, what I'd like to sit down with Jimbo with and say, what's your plan for the first couple games? Sam Houston, Appalachian State, who we know is no gimme pushover as far as group of five. But after that, you're playing Van Dyke at Miami, Jefferson at Arkansas, Rogers, and then the defending Heisman Trophy winner all in a row. So that quarterback position, I think, is the biggest – the most important QB decision he's made since the Jameis Coker decision. And I think we'll have an answer probably by Monday, Paul. And I think the players and the team will probably know by tomorrow's practice, if I had to guess.
So once the team knows, Billy, you're not going to be far behind, are you?
I hope not. I might check with Rick over there at Auburn to get him to source it for me, but I would hope to be in front of it, to be honest with you. So I better be paying attention, I think, in the next 24 hours or so.
Other than that, and that's obviously not going to really matter for the first two games, but what's your sense from camp on what this team is capable of doing?
Paul, I think so much of this hinges like so many teams, though, but on the offensive line and QB, and those two are going to tie in together. But, man, this football team, I've talked to scouts, I've talked to outsiders, I've talked to coaches that have come through, guys like Jackie Sherrill, and who think this is among, if maybe the most talented A&M team he's seen on the hoof, you know, out there on the field. They lack experience at spots, but they've got depth pretty much everywhere except maybe linebacker. If that O-line can gel under first-year coach Steve Adazio and that defense, I'm really excited to see what DJ Durkin can do with that A&M defense in year one, because Mike Elko did so well. Durkin's walking into a gold mine of talent. If that QB can play at – I don't even think Paul has to be an all-SEC level. If the quarterback – and let's say it's Haynes. If he can play good football in September – and they can get out of that, I think the ceiling for this team, it's why I keep picking them third. I think they've got the highest ceiling of any of the teams not named Bama or Georgia. I think this could be a – I'm going to pick them 10-2. I think the ceiling's higher. But I think as we look at that schedule, there are a lot of close football games in there, no matter how good A&M is, unless they're a true top five.
We have the schedule up. And listen, it's easy to figure out – the tweeners, but
yeah.
Other than Bama, let's move them off the board, and I want to come back to them in a minute. But what are the games, one or two games that you think are the most where A&M is the most vulnerable? That other loss, yeah. Who's the most likely other team to beat A&M other than Alabama?
I think there's a couple of them that stand out in there, and they're actually back to back. I think Arkansas in Jerry World. I'll be honest with you. I think Arkansas is getting a little more love than they should by some people. I think it's a good football team. I certainly think they're capable of giving A&M all they want and maybe walking out of there a winner. I like A&M's team better. Jefferson is a proven QB, and that's going to be I think that's going to be a war there in Jerry World. But the one that really I think you really circle is at Mississippi State in Starkville. The week after you go Miami, Arkansas back to back, and then the week before you go up to Tuscaloosa for that grudge match with a returning quarterback in Mike Leach's system, and that's going to be a good defensive football team in Starkville. And that is the place, Paul, as you know way better than I do, and longtime SEC people, everybody knows, if you go in there and you got your eye looking back or looking ahead, you're likely to get beat. And they haven't had a great deal of success in Starkville since joining the league. So that would be the one I would circle more than any other.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's almost too much to keep talking about October 8th. You know that. But you also know what people are saying, Billy. And as soon as somebody talks about that game, the pundits nationally are saying, yeah, but it's going to be a beatdown. How does that play where you live?
I think A&M fans are kind of over the – you know, being disgusted by it or put out or, you know, agitated. And I think they're kind of like, okay, you know, they're kind of in the embrace it mode. I think it was Stinch last week said something like A&M didn't win that game. Alabama lost it. And I could go back and watch that game 100 times. And I don't know where you would come to that conclusion on it. It was just, A&M played the quarterback played the game of his life. The atmosphere was what it was. Bill O'Brien made some terrible calls down there inside the 5-yard line, and A&M came in the clutch when they had to in the fourth quarter. So I think the Aggies are looking forward to that one. I think from talking to the players throughout the offseason, they fully understand that they're being doubted. But I think the biggest thing with those guys, Paul, is there's no one outside of Athens, Georgia, playing football in this conference right now. Am I right? That maybe a couple guys at LSU that have beaten Alabama on the football field. There's a whole locker room of them here across the street. So that thing that's been dogging not just A&M, but pretty much every Alabama opponent before those teams play, that's gone. And the talent gap will have closed as much as it's ever been since A&M's been in the SEC. So I think they'll go out there and take their chances. And I understand Bama being a favorite. I think they should be at home, and I think it would still be an upset if A&M won that game. But man, to just assume that because Nick Saban and Will Anderson and those guys are pissed off that they're going to go win by three touchdowns, I think it's taken a pretty big leap.
I don't want to get too far ahead because the season hasn't even started yet, but I'm really intrigued what you're picking up, and I know what you're saying. And when you mentioned Jackie Sherrill, that's a name that, I mean, if Jackie Sherrill says he sees the most talent out there, I believe it. I mean, I think that much of the coach. But I know you have to play this season, but as you watch these players and hear about them in practice, can we peek ahead a little bit in a year or two and give us an idea of where you think A&M is going to be when we talk about the SEC and the national scene?
I think, Paul, that 2020 was when it started, and I think people are going to look back and say that 8-4 season last year with those three close losses had a lot to do with the QB being injured, because I think they've entered that run where it's going to be some really high-level football in College Station under Jimbo Fisher. The talent level is, again, I had a 12-year NFL vet come in here the other day, said the same thing. I had said they're more talented than we were in the 90s. I had a couple of NFL scouts that I had dinner with this week that said, yeah, it's night and day. Dan Campbell, watching tape before last season, said they really look like Bama and Georgia now when you pop in the tape in the trenches. They're talent-wise, they're there, and that's why I said this QB decision, Paul, is so important to me, because it's more than a one-year decision, not just with whoever wins a starting job, but also I think Connor Wigman's as talented and gifted a quarterback as I've seen come through here since number two. And at the same age, I would say Wigman, you know, you can ask Johnny himself, he'd say he wasn't that impressive as a redshirt. So what's coming up has a chance to be really special, but they need to, as you've said and everyone said, and I think this is the fair criticism, they've got to get over that hump. And they did it for 1 year, but then they went back, and you can say QB injury or not. We'll find out this year if last year was the anomaly or if 2020 was. I think last year was the anomaly, and this team is going to have a nice window here about the next 3 or 4 years, particularly 23 and 24, but don't sleep on them this fall. If they can get through September, Paul, I think this is a team that you could see, you know, at least like New Year's Six bowl game 2 out of 3 years, and then it's go time from there.
We talk so much about the recruiting, and, you know, I want you to give us a sense of that talent, especially on the defensive line and what everyone is seeing when they see these young guys out there right now.
First of all, the older players, what I like about it is they're not jealous or envious. They're not coming in here kind of off the record. Yeah, they're not that good, or they're overrated, or this. They're coming in going, holy cow, like these dudes are unbelievable. The coaches are saying the bottom of the class, the bottom 6-7 guys per the national rankings are better than advertised. So this class is everything it was made out to be. You mentioned the D-line. I think particularly on the D-line, the secondary, I think Evan Stewart's the best receiver. He's right there with Christian Kirk as far as my first impressions. I think Evan Stewart has the potential to completely change Jimbo Fisher's offense and what's been so needed, which is that over-the-top threat from day one. He and Devon Achain, Paul, to me, are first-round NFL talents, one at receiver, one at running back. I think Achain should be a Heisman contender. I love Jahmyr Gibbs. I love what he did at Georgia Tech. I loved him as a recruit. I challenge anyone to go watch Devon Achain's highlights against SEC competition, or go watch him in the Cotton Bowl. Go see what he does on the track. Go look at what he did against Alabama, what he does catching the football. This dude has a chance to be absolutely special coming out of Isaiah Spiller's shadow. So that class and some of their high-end talent, guys like Achain and Nia Smith, it's next level, and it's the stuff. It's the reason why A&M at times wasn't able to get over the hump against the Clemsons, the Georgias, the LSUs, the Bamas. They've been creeping up there. It's not as fast as a lot of people in the media would have wanted, and even in some corners here. But I think they're right there on the verge, and they're just going to have to win some tough games early you know, to get through this. It's close.
Incredible stuff from our friend Billy Lucci. Billy, thanks for the report. A lot to chew on there. We will see you very soon. We're heading to a break. Always great to see you. We're coming back. A lot of news today, including the overthrow of Alan Green as the Auburn athletic director. More on that coming up.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And welcome back. Great to have you with us. Mark is in Mississippi. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
I thought I was watching Perry Mason a while ago.
Perry Mason, one of my favorite shows.
You was on that fella. I bet if you could got your hands on him, he'd have told you who told him that. He'd have told you the name, too.
Yeah. You know what? I was afraid he was going to tell me the name, and it was going to kill the story, because I'm willing to bet the guy was not that important.
Right. I flipped the channel on there right as you was getting into him real good, and I was like, that gum. Yeah, it's not in black and white. That's Paul Feinbaum.
Yeah, where's Miss Stella or Della? Della Street.
Did
Perry and Della have something going on?
I don't know. Did you and your girlfriend that used to be on there, did y'all have something going on?
Mark.
What's she doing now?
Who are you talking about?
The one that used to be on your show with you a lot. I can't think of her name.
Laura Rutledge?
Yeah, that's her.
So, did I hear you correctly? Did you ask me if Miss Laura and I mean, do you realize I'm the godfather of her daughter?
Well, stranger things has happened before.
I said the godfather, not the father, okay? That's pretty funny.
There's some new blood out there that needs to get in every now and then.
No, you're not talking to some football coach here. You're talking to me. I mean, I'm not one of those types.
This is the first time that I've called that I hadn't really been nervous talking to you. This is about
I think the third time I'm more comfortable. Mark, I think I liked it better when you were nervous. You didn't ask such piercing questions. I don't think I've ever been asked that question, but I mean, you pretty much asked me if I'm the father of somebody else's child, didn't you?
Well, as long as it takes to get back in there, you write down the things you want to say when you do get through.
Oh, my goodness. I got a
whole book here.
Mark, I don't know what to make out of this call. I should be running under the table here, hiding from you. You're a tough out.
Well, it should make you feel good and important, like you are.
Well, I'm just
you ain't got no answers for me.
You got anything else you want to ask me? As long as you have me on the spot here, Mark. I mean,
Have I ever stepped on
a beetle at home or something? Or
no, but I know if you ever retire from ESPN, you can go to the injury attorneys and make quite a bit of money because nobody want to go to court with you. They'll settle.
You know what, Mark? That's a great idea. I don't know if I have the right training or even a law license, but who would need one? I can.
From what I think, you do okay.
I got the TV. I got the TV thing down. I can just look into that camera and say, if you were part of the Camp Lejeune, if you drank water at Camp Lejeune. I am your man. I will get you $10 million. But first, I just need a down payment. I just need $20,000 in cash, so it's not traceable. Hey,
I might be old, but I'm not that old. I don't fall for any of that stuff.
Or I need if I'm in Knoxville, I just need cash in my McDonald's bag. I don't need
or
any
some
Big Macs. I don't need any
golf balls and orange juice and stuff.
Hey, Mark, thanks a lot. That was funny. Mark wants me to represent him. Let's go sue someone.
Please.
How about I-Man?
You can't sue me. I mean, what are you going to do? Sue me for all the money you've been paying me all these years?
How about this, I-Man? Sue me if I play too long.
Or how about the Sue Me, Sue You Blues by George Harrison?
I kind of like Sue Me if I play too long. You know why I like Sue Me if I play too long?
Why is that?
Because it leads right to the best lyrics in rock and roll history, and they call Alabama the Crimson Tide.
Oh, okay. I knew there was a.
I don't even think I picked up the lyrics.
You're kind of predictable.
Come on.
I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting you to pull out some Steely Dan on me.
Get with your Steely Dan lyrics. Come on.
I kind of always favored Ricky Don't Lose That Number.
But. Yeah, well, try Deacon Blues and.
Oh, you well, yeah. I get that. Well, I mean, I get it now, but I wasn't talking about it.
I mean, those are some great lyrics, but you're just throwing me an innocuous George Harrison song right in the middle of one of the great lyrics of all time, at least sports-wise.
Yes. At least sports-wise. You know, Paul, first off, I tip my hat to your Ring of Honor. All four inductees, well-deserved, great people. I appreciated all of them and respected all of them. And, you know, that. The Alan Green's news was predictable. We all kind of knew that was coming, didn't we, for the last year or so?
No surprise.
And and now with the NCAA no teeth, I mean, it's kind of like the Cowardly Lion on The Wizard of Oz. The state of college football, I mean, with NIL, I've never seen a program from behind the scenes just destroy itself over and over like the people do at Auburn. I mean, it just... you got to want to be an Auburn fan. It's hard to be an Auburn fan. But now in the NIL with the billionaire that's sitting over there, I mean, he can go in, he can buy his athletic director, he can get his own coach. Hell, he's a collective by himself. I mean, with all that money, and he's pushing up on into the years. I mean, he's in the autumn of his world. Where's his collective effort towards the going out and buying the number one team in the country? Because it's obvious Nick Saban's got his foot on his neck so hard that he can't stand the light of day of it. But we're talking about $1 billion. $1 billion. That's a lot of damn money. And why isn't he gone out, if he knows so damn much about football and sports and running the college, why hasn't he produced it? Your thoughts?
I don't know. Sue me if I play too long. We will take a break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we are back, and we appreciate you being with us. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Bobby is up next. Hey, Bobby. Bobby, you there?
Hey, Paul.
Hey there. Woo-hoo. Good afternoon.
My man, Paul.
Hey.
How's it hanging?
Quite well, by the way. Thanks for asking. I had to check. I wasn't sure. I mean, I looked and I didn't see it.
Oh, okay. Reason I called, I was listening to you, Ring of Honor, and I was a little upset that you didn't add Ed in.
Yeah, Ed from Connecticut?
Yeah. You know, he used to call every day.
He sure did.
And, I mean, dead last wouldn't fall off the man, but, and he was a little boring, but.
Yeah, you know, when Ed died a couple of years ago, I called his wife and we had a nice conversation, and he was a very important caller. I hate to look at a caller and evaluate one, but he was more of a recent caller. That doesn't mean you can't be part of the conversation, but we tended to look at the history of the show that predated coming here, and in fact all four people were really part of the show for a long time. Hey, thank you anyway for bringing him up. He was a memorable caller. G is in Atlanta. Hello, G.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today, brother?
We are doing very well, thank you.
Look here, you know with that the process going down there in Auburn, Alabama, me and the guys at dialysis just have a fit laughing because that guy that owned that lumber company down there, when I tell you, if he ain't Boss Hall from Dukes of Hazzard, I don't know who can fit him anymore because he thinks he runs everything.
Well, you know what? It's interesting. Not only does he think he runs everything, he does run everything.
You're speaking like of Jimmy Hall, Rain. Just like Boss Hall was.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy Rain, just like Boss Hall was on the show. You know, the episode always has him doing something. And at the end, he get caught. You know, he had to do the right thing, of course. But I agree with that man. You know, Nick got his foot down on the man's throat, and he don't want to spend no money, but yet he want to run the program.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, there's a lot of hypocrisy oozing out of these coaches' comments.
And Paul, I want to say one more thing too, man. You know, they finna take you off a satellite here where I'm at in Atlanta, and where I'm going to miss a couple of hours of you because I get you at 3, and then when I go home at 4, I miss an hour of you. Then when I get home, I get the rush to 5 o'clock hour and 6 o'clock hour.
Hey, Jay, what station do you listen to us on?
It's a satellite, and when I'm at home, I'm at Comcast. But when I'm at my dialysis place, when I try to catch you at 3 o'clock, it's just a satellite station.
Well,
I'm
so sorry.
And so, like I said, you know, and I've got like 4 or 5 guys there that we religiously watching you every day.
By the way, how far along are you in that process? That's a tough thing.
Well, we're doing good, Paul. Good. I mean, I try to get on the kidney list
right
at the end of this month and everything. And so I'm doing good. You know, I'm taking care of my body correctly. I done lost some weight, which is good. And just doing good, but I lost a good friend through it. But he, you know, he was on it, but he lost his life, he lost his battle in May. So, you know, I just want to throw a shout out to him because he watched your show too.
Let me say this, and no one knows what you're going through, but I've seen it through family members and friends, and we're thinking and praying for you because that is such a difficult road, and you show such courage as your friend did. Going through that, so you be
I will, Paul. And I have some Joe. I like him. You know, even though I'm a Georgia fan, I'm an SEC fan, but I like Georgia. But my thing is, I like Hanson Joe because he put it out there because I have been a little deterred a little bit, but my faith keeps me going, Paul. It keeps me going.
Well,
I mean, so I'm fighting diabetes.
Do me this. You stay in touch with us and let us know how you're doing. And I
listen to you every day, Paul. I ain't going nowhere.
That means a great deal. You stay strong.
Yeah. Thank you, man. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you. That's amazing. That is such a inspiring story. And everybody has difficult things. We talked to Patrick last night, but going through dialysis, that is a real challenge. Let's check in with Cole, who is in Georgia. Hello, Cole.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
Cole, we are doing well. Thank you.
Paul, I just wanted to call and say it is a great day to be a Georgia Bulldog, ain't it? I mean, the season is kicking closer and closer, and I get to watch my Bulldogs play. Who's that coming down the track? It's a mean machine in red and black. Ain't nothing finer in the land than a duck of Nazi Georgia fans.
Cole, you keep singing. I like that song. Wow. I was just getting fired up.
It's week zero.
Would you stand up? Do you know that song? That's a Georgia chant for when they win a game, which they pretty much win every game now. Okay, we are well into the program. The news of the day, Allen Green out at Auburn. That was expected. What's next is what people are talking about. What will happen to Brian Harsin? Nice of Auburn to dump this right on the eve of the season on a Friday afternoon. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.